All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fantastic Duo Show. I'm here once again, joined by the one and the only, back from all the signings and traveling around the globe, Mr. Steve Cardenas. What's up, Steve?
We're not traveling around the globe yet.
You're driving around the globe.
Just whatever. It feels like we're traveling around the globe. No, it's all good. Thanks, man. Yeah. Hey, welcome to everybody on Twitch. I appreciate you guys joining in. I think we're pretty excited about the show we're going to have today. But yeah, we did do a bit of traveling around, meeting some fans and stuff, keeping that social distancing in effect and stuff like that, but yet still giving the fans the experience of getting a chance to come and meet some of the Rangers and stuff like that. So actually, myself and our guest have been doing a bit of that. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. But I don't think, you know, people really want to talk to us, Alex. I think they want to see what's going on with the man here. We all know him, of course, as, you know, the Green Ranger, the White Ranger, the Red Zeo Ranger, the Red Turbo Ranger, the Black Dino Thunder Ranger. He's basically been every color that you guys can think of. So, been my friend for 25 years. He's one of the first people I met when I moved to LA. Immediately took me under his wing and made me feel real comfortable when I got on set, because obviously I was real nervous about all that. So, really good man, and he's been a good friend for a long time. So, really appreciate him coming on the show. Let's welcome Mr. Jason David Frank. What's up?
Yay! What's up, everybody?
What's up, man? What's
hey,
up, brother?
Thanks for having me, man. I gotta say, I was listening to the Bolty talk, but this is actually my first time on any kind of Twitch show.
Oh, really?
Wow. Okay. Breaking ground.
Cool. Like, when you're talking about Twitch, I was like, oh, that's great. I mean, it's super cool. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know,
Twitch it's basically. Yeah, Twitch, it's basically like YouTube for all the gamers and geeks out there, man. It's really awesome. And they're actually interacting with us right now as we speak, JDF. You can't see it, but they've got like a little live stream feeding. Everybody's jumping in and chatting us up. So they'll be throwing questions from the audience that we'll reach out and eventually, you know, so we'll throw some of their questions at you as well, too, and stuff that. So they're definitely involved. It's, you know, it'll be partly like a Q&A where we'll let the fans jump in on some of the stuff. And of course, we'll talk about all kinds of stuff. But how you been, man? So I know we're all kind of like isolated, but a little bit. You and I have actually been doing a little bit of outreach to the fans in order to do what you like to call our PPP, the Power Ranger Protection Program. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about like what's involved with that.
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, thanks for having me again. I'm representing Red. You know, I got the Red Ranger. And then
attaboy. As both of us who don the red, that's really cool, man.
It was super cool. It was crazy when I turned the Red Ranger, though. It was like, I mean, changing colors was just like, right?
Yeah.
Like all of our wardrobe is one color and then we switch. But anyway.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, it's true because, off the subject a little bit, but people always say, oh, what did it feel like to get demoted? I said, I never got demoted. It was a lateral move. I was the same. You know what I mean? Because when I came on the show, the Red Ranger was never the leader. By that point, it was the White Ranger who was the leader. And in order to match the Japanese footage in the O Ranger stuff, the Zeo was the Red Ranger was the leader. So he had to become the Red Ranger. There was no like argument or choice about it. You know what I mean? And it was like so
much didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I was telling some people the other day. I don't think we ever sat around and wondered, I don't think we did either, wonder like if the series is gonna get picked up again, because I kind of felt like it already was, like we were just on hiatus. We knew some shows I watch and, you know, for 2 months they're like, oh man, I hope we get picked up, I hope we get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really think too much of that. Did you really? Like, we just
I didn't think either. I mean, I think we very much probably just took it for granted that it was just gonna get picked up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're taking a break, Steve. I'll see you soon. Oh, we got, you know, whatever, months off. And then, so I was thinking about that. Some actors were like, God, I hope we get picked up. I hope we get picked up. For us, it was just kind of like, oh, we got a break. Bro, I'll see you. You know, so it's crazy.
Well, and it was a much needed break that we needed, because remember, we were like, you know, we as soon as I came in, it was like we immediately started filming. Then we went to film the movie, and then we had to reshoot the movie, and then we had to reshoot episodes while we were there. Then we had to come back and go right into filming of the season again. And then we finally got a 6-week hiatus when they had the little kids playing us, you know, our actual break after 2 years, you know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, it was true. And then sometimes when we had, I'll get to the comment, but sometimes I would think about like when you shoot a scene or someone else that we almost have that day off, you know? So it's like, okay, cool. So I'd read the script and then we're like, okay, Steve, oh, I got a day off. Steve, Tommy, one line. you know? Like,
oh, yeah, you have to go in for one line. That's right.
Yeah, and then it was like, for the vice versa, you know, we read, and then we're like, okay, you're in the last scene of the day, and you're like, oh, man, I'm in the last scene. You know we're not shooting that till 4 or 5. Can we get a later call time? No, you need to come in at 12.
No, nope. Like, oh. Dude, lucky you got to come in at 12. I was up at 5 o'clock every morning.
Well, I did in the very well. Anyway. Yeah, doing the PPP, the Power Ranger Protection Program. We're just going out there, doing it in a safe way. Figure, and actually, it's given a lot of people hope. I got a lot of promoters texting saying, "Hey, cool, you guys are kind of setting the pace. This is fun." So we're just kind of going around. I mean, Comic Cons to me is one big comic book shop, in my opinion.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Yeah, it's one big comic shop with like 20 actors in there that sometimes aren't comic related.
Right. You know what I mean? Sure.
So I think it's just kind of our direct market is fun. We get a chance to interact. And like I tell people, even though it's 6 feet away and we're like, hi, and all that, it still feels good to have some kind of human connection, man.
Well, yeah, to be able to speak to us in person, be able to look at us, to be able to watch, like watching us sign their item that they've been like waiting 10 years to get signed or whatever. And, there's something to be said about that. And with the PPP, it's twofold. One, it's like, yeah, like we're trying to promote everybody staying safe. But the other part of it is that we're trying to protect some of these small local businesses as well, too. You know what I mean? Hey, we're drawing people to the store, and then hey, while they're at the store, hey, why don't you guys pick up this pop from this Batman pop or this thing or this comic or whatever, so that the store can the store gets to profit from benefit from it as well too. You know what I mean? So it's a twofold kind of thing, which I think is really cool. And I only wish that I was genius enough to come up with the idea of the phrase, because you are so good with those phrases. You come up with all of them, like morph up and PPP and all these things that are like always yours. And it's like, I wish I had that marketing mind like you have,
we're all the Power Rangers. I started thinking of the PPP because my businesses, I got small businesses. So, we got the payroll protection program. We got, the grant. So I was thinking, oh man, the payroll protection program. Cool. I got a lot of payroll that's gone out like in 2-3 months. We've been quarantined, locked down in Los Angeles at my school for so long. So we're doing the Zoom and we're doing all that stuff. So when it came to that, I instantly thought of paper book comics. Like, I sure don't want to live in a digital day where we got to like now read digital comics and talk digitally. Cause then I think of that scenario that it's the true fact when a baby is born, you can stay all you want right here and go, hey baby, how you doing? Oh, I love you so much. But if the baby doesn't get affectionate touch, the baby dies.
Yeah.
The baby dies. Like it's so like for me, at least mentally, and I know for you too, it's great to see people. And you're talking about signing, we talked about your V shouts too. People mail in our stuff and you've been doing V shouts. I got my V shout signing Thursday. It's super cool. I mean, I know we sign and get a video shout out, but like you said, there's items that they've been waiting for like 10, 15 years, and there's nothing better at least to I hand it to you. I did a little Fleischwater. I bought a little Fleischwater.
I saw that post.
but still, I mean, we're not handing it with Fleischwater. Toys are too heavy, but to actually get that, it does feel good. And even watching your stuff, where you're over here, I'm over here, and the local businesses, I think right now really benefit from it. Because for me, like I said, it's Comic-Con's one big Comic-Con. It's least condensed, and I could see a little bit more of what's going on and versus just, getting pulled left and right. And here it's like, I get to actually take the time, as much time as we want. I mean, it's more of a private, I'd say it's more of a private meeting.
Yeah. It is more of an intimate meet and greet, at least for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And it just goes back to that electricity that's there when we get to see the fans face to face and they get to see us too, there's been times that I've been on the Comic-Con circuit and I've met people that I've kind of fangirled out about, and I've been like, I admire their work, and for me to meet them is an exciting thing. So I know that when people come up to meet us, there's that same thing, So
yeah,
in a sense, I get it, and it's just not the same, I mean, hey, we do what we can, but it's not the same when we're doing it over a satellite feed,
Yeah, so, I agree, man. I do a lot of cameos. I kind of set this office up just for cameos and one-on-one, and I like it. Don't get me wrong. And it seems like I mean, I do these karate classes too, but it seems like right now it's just generating more for like cameos, one-on-one meet and greets, almost, and I hate saying it, almost the lazy way of not getting up and following my karate class, which we do have people, but I did a Zoom karate class because, you know, we work together. I always brag about you because, you know, not only your karate, you do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, which is, I could proudly take you around everywhere and you could roll with anyone and tap people out, which I really like that about you, that you're the real deal. You have history behind you and you're not one that sits there and goes, well, I'm just a student in the art. I don't really care about rank. I feel that those people that say that really do care, but they're just justifying that they don't have it.
Right. That they don't have it. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, right. I mean, I think it's important because it speaks to like your credibility in a lot of ways, but it also speaks to the fact that, hey, just like for somebody that went out and got a college degree or a master's degree, it proves that you put in the work, you know what I mean? Right. Like, and sometimes you have to have that certification in order for it to be able to be legit and considered legit in the eyes of the multitudes, you know? And I think that's important. That's why, you know, I always, every time when you talk about those fake martial artists, man, I feel the same way a lot of times, you know, it's so frustrating to me, you know, sometimes when people get that clout or whatever because they get the hype around them, you know, but then they're not really, you know, that bothers me a lot, you know.
Me too, man. And I also, you know, when you come to my school and, you know, and you proudly wear that black belt, and I, you know, I'm a black belt in different systems, but when you wear that black belt in jiu-jitsu, people say, well, you know, I don't really need a belt to look good. A belt doesn't make you look good. A belt justifies what you've done, but also you're the one that the mat doesn't lie. So when you get out there and you go on the mat, you know, for example, someone wearing a higher rank jiu-jitsu or someone that doesn't want to say, I don't really need to train. I don't need that justification. But yet on YouTube and Google and Wikipedia, you got, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. But when it comes down to it in your role or your spar, you're kind of like, there's no need to kind of hype it up. And that's what I like about you is every time we talk jiu-jitsu, I tell everyone, you know what I mean? I've trained. I've got my 8th degree black belt. I'm a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, proud purple belt, almost went to brown, didn't, got a lot of stuff going on. Just wanted to recognize different positions. But, you know, here you came from different styles and you know, you're a black belt, which is cool. When you see a black belt in jiu-jitsu, that's the way it should. Now, you don't need belts at all, which is fine. But it does, like, and me and Big Bang were talking about, briefly on Instagram and TikTok, it's one of those things where it's just I'm a student of the student. I don't need this. It's sometimes you need that credibility, and you know, jiu-jitsu has that. And my rank goes, my roots go deep.
So your roots go really deep, for sure.
Yeah. But when you came on the show, it was like black belt. I was like, really? It looks good, does the same thing, but you have rank,
right?
You know, there's other people that don't really have that, but still look good because it's Hollywood training. But I enjoy that about you, that you are legit.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, and I do appreciate the confidence that you had in me because you actually brought me in on some of your training stuff that you did because, you know, and especially it's in a lot fuller effect right now because of the lockdowns and not people being able to go and train as much. You have your online training program called Train Me JDF. And, you know, so you have people that can basically be members and actually get to train online with you. And I think that's great. And I was actually really honored when you brought me on to teach some jiu-jitsu portions of that. I should get those links again. We should post those up. Those little lessons that we taught. You know what I mean? Yeah. We should repost those up on a story or something like that. If people get an idea, and we'll do a swipe up link for the Train Me JDF so people can go and look at that stuff. Because that was a lot of fun.
Years ago.
That was a long time ago.
We're not just coming up with this, now quarantine, let me struggle. It's like that was 5 years ago. That's what we're talking about, getting the links, because it's been around kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and now everyone's like, hey, I got this great idea. You know, we can go online, we could train. It's kind of like we've been doing it. So yeah, it'd be great.
You're like, I've been doing it already. Stop biting my shit. Stop biting my shit.
But we did. And then you were, you know, you did the reality show, you trained. So yeah, well, I was just thinking the other day, it's great to know that, you know, you're a brother in the martial arts.
Oh, you know, yeah, for sure. Else, absolutely, man.
Like,
I think that was one of the things that right away for us, you know, was kind of like one of the things that bonded us right away was that martial arts stuff. You know what I mean? Like we kind of both could sort of look and know that, hey, you know, we went through it. You know what I mean?
Right. So that was understand the stories. There's sometimes when you're asking someone for you in jiu-jitsu, I would imagine, you know, if you ask them whatever, like, hey, you know, how do you get out of the, you know, armbar? How do you get out of the triangle? Whatever. If their answer is, you're kind of like, well, many escapes on that. Let me see what you know what you're talking about. And they really don't. But again, that's why I always say that about you, because you're not one to brag. And I'm always one to say that. That's why I tagged you with those boots on the other day when I was doing a jump kick at some appearance. I had boots on. And if you saw the jump kick was low, and then I tagged you again and said, hey, Steve, because Steve always wore boots. And I wasn't a fan of boots because they're very, very heavy. But yeah, man, it's crazy. I know I'm all over the place.
This is great, man. We're loving it. All right, well, maybe let's bring it back around a little bit, because we were talking about like when we first met and stuff like that. I mean, the fans always love to hear a bit of an origin story. I know Alex probably wanted to know. Maybe he can start kind of asking you about that. How did everything sort of get? Maybe, do you want to ask him, Alex, how everything sort of got started for him and stuff?
Sure, man. So once again, welcome to the show. I want to thank you, and of course, thank everyone that's here watching from all over the world. one of the questions I had, man, was you got on the show and it took off immediately. How was your process of getting in? And then also, as the Green Ranger character was fading away, did you think that was it for you? Like, you know, like, let's talk a little about the beginning and then towards that end there.
Yeah.
Well, or at least the end of that arc.
Alex, what do you do graphic arts, right?
I do pretty much everything.
Produce and stuff.
Yeah.
Before I answer that, can you tell me a little bit about you so people know? Because I like to highlight the people behind the mic, because I know I'm here and I'll answer everything. But people that are just tuning in, for my fans that are tuning in, just a little brief. Hey, this is me a little bit, because you can brag about yourself a little bit.
All right, I'll take 2 seconds. All right, my name's Alex. I'm a retired U.S. Marine. You know, I got into the movie business and television business, and I slowly crept into producing podcasts and creating podcasts, and here I am with Steve Cardenas.
I love your hat, bro. Like, I love your hat. So, first of all, thanks for being a hero, a true hero, man. Like, I know me and Steve, we hear that all the time, just about military, police, and everyone. And I do appreciate everyone on the front lines right now. I'm a big supporter of the military, big supporter, you know, of law and order. But anyway, when I started the show, I knew right then and there I'd have like 15 episodes. Like I came in, I got the audition. You see, there was the original Yellow Ranger, which I don't know everyone's story, but there was the original Yellow Ranger in the pilot. So I watched the pilot, but she was gone. Now I happen to know the Yellow Ranger. She came from the same system I came from.
The martial arts system. Yeah.
She came from Red Dragon Karate. She actually, there's a book I have in there called Rapist Beware. That my instructor did, and there's pictures of her in the book, like, you know, like, I her like getting attacked by guys. Anyway, so I knew her, but I didn't know she was on the show, so I had no clue. And then all of a sudden, they needed to replace the Yellow Ranger, so they auditioned for the Green Ranger and the Yellow Ranger. In a nutshell, I wanted to be an actor, and this is pretty much what I looked like in '92. I wanted to be an actor.
Look at that ponytail. So, yeah, I love it. Loving the stars and stripes gi too.
You love those gis back in the day. They told me cut my hair and I'll never, this will never sell. Like my long hair, I would just never sell, you know? So I cut it and went back. They basically said, we don't have time to represent you. Sorry, goodbye. And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. I cut my hair. I took my earrings out, you know? So they said, I don't have time to represent you. And I said, well, you don't understand. I cut my hair. I took my earrings out. The guy just said, well, here you go. We'll call it even. This is right up your alley. And I took it, and it was called Phantoms. And I have the script, the original script, but I never read for the Red Ranger. People misunderstand that. Red Ranger was casted. They were all casted except me and the Yellow Ranger. Mm-hmm. So I got the script, went in there. I saw an interview the other day of me talking, a Kathleen Regis, saying that there was a bunch of Asians. So I didn't know if we were casting for an Asian role or what, but I do remember going in and there was, I guess, different packs of people, And I guess from what I said, I don't remember, but I didn't know. I was like, oh, I hope I get the role. I don't know what type of look they're looking for. Then Tweet was there. And so they said, hey, I just went in. I saw people's belts tied wrong. I asked, where'd you train from? Oh, I did this and that. Gis were open wrong. I saw them practicing their C-step punches like this, you know, downward blocks. So I'm sitting in there. I'm thinking, I'm a competitor. I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to treat it like a tournament. And I killed everybody.
That's exactly what I did too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Hollywood, everybody says, oh, I want to do it. And back then you guys have to understand, maybe now you got a lot of all these trick kicks and all that, but we're talking 27 years ago. The stuff we did was like modern. We could do a jump kick now and people still, whoa, you know, so it was modern. So I auditioned and then they said, hey, can you help me out? And I remember sweating. I'm like, help you out? I didn't even get the part yet. And I'm already working for you guys. And say, can you pick the girl? I was thinking, I will. I hope I get the role, but whatever. So I taught this girl, picked one, taught this girl a slow, like she's ha, ha, ha. And I told Twee, just slow it down a little bit. You know, if it was a super chop punch, outer block instead of ha, 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 just, you know, do this stuff. So I taught her a routine because they said, we like this girl. And then I saw another interview where Tweet said, I'm never going to get the role. And they said Tweet jumped on the table right in front of all the producers and got the role. But I wasn't in there, so I couldn't vouch for that. But I can vouch that I put Akata together because they said, we like her. She just don't know what routine to do. Most actors do a routine.
Right.
You know, like, you know, you could do Akata and bust it out like that. And that's, you went through more people than I went through. But I got the role. I was hired 15 episodes. Green Ranger was dying. In a nutshell, they said, how would you like to do your own show called Cybertron? Mm-hmm. They got the footage from VR Troopers. They had a stage next door. I said, great. If I can get away from all the drama that was going on, people wanted to quit and leave and move. And I said, if I can just get my own trailer and my own studio and just be my guy, then that would be perfect. And then I started the VR Troopers, or I started the pilot. I still have the poster in the garage. I'll post after this on my page. But it said that, you know, Jason David Frank, basically the Green Ranger is selling this VR Trooper show, but it was called Cybertron Show. So it has a stamp. It says sold 60% of the world. And it's in my garage. And then all of a sudden they're like, nope, people were saying we want the Green Ranger back. My kids aren't eating. There was a petition.
Yeah.
We didn't have all that. If we had social media, it would be blasted right away. So I think things took a lot of time. And then Saban said, okay, well, let's bring him back. And then I came back as the White Ranger. I think Brad did a voice of the White Ranger. Maybe he was going to do the White Ranger. I don't know. But I was set to do Cybertron. And then I came back as the White Ranger. And it wasn't really like Steve says, guys. It wasn't like, hey, Steve, what do you want to do about it? It's like, this is what you're doing. You're going to go back as the White Ranger. I'm not going to really give you a choice to say, do you want to do Cybertron? It's like, hey, dude, we're moving on and you're back as the White Ranger. And I said, okay, so it wasn't like, let me weigh my, you don't weigh stuff out with Saban. That doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you might have maybe changes on your script a bit, but you know, Steve, we can't really change the script. We can, but without everyone freaking out, you know, you got to pretty much say the lines that's on the paper, put it that way.
Yeah. About the Power Ranger protection program. Haim Saban was like super protective of everything. We weren't allowed to do anything.
It was, and you guys had it worse because, you know, when we signed our contracts, you know, we signed our contracts in the very beginning. And then I did an appearance. This is before you guys came. I did an appearance at a mall and beat out Santa Claus. And it was like, I don't really know how I feel going to the mall. There was 5,000 people. I got that article too. I just remember that was going on. And then I booked the show for me, Amy, and Dave in Hawaii, and thousands of people showed. Florida, there was three shows I booked. I did three shows. Right. Florida show, 20,000 people. And the headline said power failure, power failure. People were complaining that they didn't meet us. They were burning up in the sun. And so Saban hated it. They wanted control. So they brought me in and they said, hey, we got you. You got to stop doing these appearances. I said, not really. I mean, at that time, they were paying like, you know, $5,000 appearance or whatever it was. I was a young kid. I wanted to meet fans and interact.
Right.
And then Saban said, okay, well, we'll pay you not to do them. And they paid us a lot of money. Dave, Amy got favored nation. So they were paid even during hiatus, but these are things that we never talked about,
right?
Because it's just, it was contract. So they tried to control, you know, I tried to do a movie, I got a deal with NBC, but they really control it. So it's like, we'll pay you to own all your likeness and for you not to do anything. So I was pretty under the thumb with Saban. So there wasn't really much of a choice unless we decided to quit. And that's kind of what happened in Turbo. I just got to the point where
I didn't want
executives to make decisions.
Well, I mean, that was partially, you know, what it was for me too, you know. But I remember when we auditioned, we had to sign our contract before they would even let us audition. We couldn't even, like, it wasn't like, okay, we audition and get the part and then we sign the contract. When we got our call back, where we actually, they flew us into California, before we could even walk into the boardroom and audition for Haim, we had to sign our contract, which I had our deal laid out for us already. You know what I mean? How much we were going to get paid. Can't do this. We own your likeness, blah, 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 blah,
blah.
So, I mean, so if we would have refused to sign that, I wouldn't have been able to even walk in for the audition. So
they fixed those contracts. Once we were hired, there was a lot of loopholes that still they couldn't fix. So we still had a lot of loopholes in our contract. So they probably learned their lesson and was like, know this, know that, because there's a lot of things that they had to pay not to do.
Yeah.
And so surprisingly, I was talking about this the other day. There was two things that I did is the karate videos. If I say Steve and put him at the school and he's teaching jiu-jitsu, I'm certainly not giving Steve a script and saying, hey, Steve, this is what you're saying in my jiu-jitsu class. And then I take credit by written by it. And, you know, I love Tony. I love all those guys. But that karate club was written by me. It was all ad-lib.
Yeah.
There's no script for that.
Right.
And I did that one, and I had a percentage of that. The only thing I had a percentage was the Green Ranger cassette, or the Green Ranger caught it and the White Ranger caught it.
Right.
It was a percentage of it. But, of course, when Saban delivered the paperwork, it's like, here's all your fees, here's all the expenses, here's everything we paid, hundreds of thousands of dollars a tour, and here's your check, nothing, right?
Wow.
And no lie, the White Ranger Kata came out really good. It sold, the Green Ranger Kata sold like 300,000 units, which is really good for like a VHS at that time.
Sure.
And then, then the White Ranger came out, and it was great. And I got an argument with Saban. It was about something. And Saban said, you know, I'm just going to pull the video off the shelves. So he pulled, just because he didn't want me to make money. He'd rather lose a little money because he had a lot than me make money, because I owned a lot of percentage on that video. So So now people, fans, and it's realizing, like, man, what happened in the White Ranger Kata video? It didn't fail. Power Rangers was at the peak. And we had that conversation, and it was all cut. So to this day, those karate videos or tapes,
Wow.
Money, but it's just what it is.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah,
that's crazy, man. Like, I actually didn't even know that story, to be honest. Or maybe you had kind of mentioned it before, but I didn't realize it or make the connection.
I started realizing it when fans started asking me, and I started saying that White Ranger caught it was great, and I'm signing them. You know, I'm signing them, and I'm thinking, I remember. Because there's so much going on that Haim was like, I'm pulling your videos. And they were pulled off the shelf. All the White Ranger caught the videos. Now, if you look at marketing and structure at that time, we never failed toys. That never failed. That was a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers hot commodity at the time. Cassette. It was just pulled off. Or VHS. He just pulled off because he didn't want me to have it.
Yeah. Jesus.
It was an ownership. It was a big percentage of it. Pretty big. And it was, I never got, but you know, it is what it is. I'm just saying, it's funny how you do something, right? And then it says written by.
Right.
Like, I would never have Steve teach a class and say written by Jason David Frank. And all my videos were written by Tony Oliver, written by other people. I don't think we just got that recognition that we need.
Right. Yeah. Well, we certainly didn't, you know, but then that's the way that they saw it. They saw the Power Rangers as a whole. And it was the image of Rangers that was sellable. So it didn't really matter who was in the suit in their mind. You know what I mean? Which is why everybody was so replaceable in a sense, you know? So when they handed us a contract like that, you have no choice. You've got to sign it, or otherwise you're not going to be part of the show, and you're not going to not do that, you know? So anybody would have taken that deal, you know? I mean, just.
But I saw VHS. I was going through old VHS and cleaning my house, and I saw a VHS of you guys' audition, like, not what you guys did, but I don't know if it was a publicity stunt around the world, but I know 100% sure that there was thousands of people that auditioned for Steve Rolls. Thousands and thousands and
wow.
thousands. And I had a fan come up to me and say, now I remember. I didn't even think, but I'm like, yeah, that's right. Someone came up to me and said, you know, you were at my audition in New York. And I said, I was at your audition in New York. And then I started thinking, they did pull me to a couple places and said, hey, you know, we're having auditions. Jay State Frank Green Ranger is going to be here. It's just an advertising stunt, I think. It was like this big thing of you. And then it got around the world where it's right. like, you can audition. But yet, Steve got the role out of thousands and thousands of people. But I do think that they kind of milked it a little bit longer. You know, they probably knew. And it was a lot of competition. So I saw that in the news. It was everywhere. People trying out. There were some good karate guys and not so good karate guys. But so when you guys came in, I think you all three were straight out of Texas.
We all came from Texas. Yeah, we all auditioned at that Dallas
That's
audition.
Crazy. Like,
well, I always think it's because Katie Wallen was at that particular audition, and all the rest of her people that worked for her were simultaneously around other parts of the country.
Publicity stunt.
And the people they pulled that they brought in, because they picked three people from each city that they went to, and then they brought all 12 of us in. To audition together, and then they mixed and matched a bunch of us and stuff like that. But everybody they picked, none of them had the look that me, Johnny, and Karen had.
Right.
So, I think Katie Wallen knew exactly what Haim was looking for.
Sure.
And everybody else, I don't know where the communication breakdown was, but I mean, you know, I knew they were looking to bring an African American girl and an Asian guy, but there was like Asian girls and white girls and like all kinds of like, you know, different ethnicities that I didn't think were going to fit the role the way that they wanted it to match and mesh with the other people that were already there. So, but the one
now,
thing,
when did,
yeah, sorry, well, go ahead.
When did Richie come into the juice bar?
Rich Ginelli? He was in season
one. No. The character Richie, who Ernie had this guy who was in red. I was talking to someone. I thought it was
right.
Richie in red. And I think that was a replacement because he was wearing red. Now, I believe, I don't know if that came on your season or Austin's season.
Yeah, that I have no idea because I don't even remember this Richie character.
Austin's season before they were starting to kind of like be on the edge of like, we're going to replace. And specifically, because, you know, I heard stuff in the office, of course, because I listen. But they put Richie there as a character and he was Hispanic. So
yes.
They figured they could have a Hispanic character. So Ernie introduced this character, Richie, and then all of a sudden something happened to Richie and he was gone. But it was strategically placed there wearing red because you know the colors we wear. But I remember that. I didn't have any social media. I wasn't really into all that stuff. But I remember when y'all came, I was like, dang, y'all came from Texas and now here I live in Texas.
Yeah, you know? That's right. You moved to Houston quite a while ago, huh?
Yeah.
How long you been living in Houston now?
15 years, man. And then I got the Rising Sun Karate Schools. And to this day, Steve, I can't tell you how many times people follow me and they're like, I can't wait to meet you. When are you coming to Texas? When are you coming to Houston? I live here. They're like, what?
Yeah. They do it to me all the time too. They do it all the time. When are you coming to Dallas? I live in Dallas, you know?
Yeah. It's my school's right down the road from them.
Yeah, but man, I got to tell you, I've been to your schools and those schools are beautiful, man. And like massive, that one that you have, the big one you have there in Humboldt, that one is incredible, man. Like it's you know, it's got its own MMA cage on one side, boxing ring. It's got its own whole entire weight area. It's got its own like one big, huge open room for jiu-jitsu, one big, huge open room for martial arts, one huge open room that's just for the kids' classes. Like
Muay Thai,
everything. I mean, it is a sight to behold, you know? I mean, it's quite different from the 1,100 square foot USA martial arts studio that I opened up in 1995 on Lyons Boulevard in Valencia when I got my Power Ranger money from the movie and opened up my school.
But you had really good students, man. And it's one of those things where like, you know, I built my dream school and I went big with it. In karate, I came from the small schools, the Red Dragon Karates. We had 28 locations. Every 3 miles was a Red Dragon Karate in California.
I
started in West Covina. Was
with Chris Casamassos, right?
Covina, yeah. I started as a kid, and before I kind of turned 18, I owned that karate school. So I sold my comic book collection, to own my first franchise and traded it. I think it was, I don't know, I got like 11 grand. I had a lot of books that were really good books, like Giant Size X-Men, The Incredible Hulk, Wolverine's First Appearance, like really great graded books. And so I just gave it up. And that's really kind of, I was a big comic book at one period in my life, you know, to get away from real life. I read comics.
Yeah.
And I think I read comics from 8 to 16. And I thought it was good value in it. I saved it. I thought as a kid, I could buy this for 60 cents and this thing will turn into like 20 bucks. So I saw it as a really good investment.
Right.
So I would bring my friend and I would get one and put it in a sleeve. And I tell my friend Shannon, who, wherever he's at, I hope he could reach out to me. He was a guy. So we had a lot of fights because he had a girl's name, but I would read his book. I would say, hey, let me see your book. And he'd be like, okay, they'll talk. I would read. Meanwhile, my book's like in a hardcover, you know, super great condition. So I still read it, but I read his books. And I would go to Eagle Rock Comics that I went to. So Steve knows when Comic-Con came, I said, well, yeah, I'll just go. I'll take a look at some Wolverine stuff and some toys. And, you know, I mean, I'm doing karate full time. So then I went and it was a whole different world, man.
I remember like one of the first ones that we did. It was like this show in Florida that we did. Remember the two of us went, it was just me and you together and we went to this show. And I think one of the guys from Firefly or Serenity was there. Nathan Fillion was there with us. And I can't remember some of the other actors that were there. That was I think that's when we first ran into Moshi too, the guy who runs those after hours after Comic-Con parties. It was called FX show. It doesn't exist anymore.
Dude, FX show. Do you don't even know what happened to me on that FX show?
Oh, really? Okay, tell me.
Okay, so I go in there and you know, I don't really know how the Comic-Cons work. I did AFO. You know, I went into AFO free. I think they gave me, you know, like 4 tickets. Big fan of Disney and whatever. You know, came out, met fans. And, you know, Moshi was out there and all that stuff. So I did FX show. And there's a tattoo magazine. So I did this tattoo magazine. You know, so I'm back out.
Oh, yeah, right. You showed them all your tattoos. I remember that. Yeah. You took your shirt off.
I did that. And I remember some blonde girl with dreads came up out of the blue. And I had my hand up. She said, can I take a picture? I said, yes. Like this, like. I looked at the camera and pretended to scrape me, and that picture went everywhere. And I had to explain something that was nothing. I don't even know.
Right. Yeah, no, you know, I do remember that.
So when I went there, I guess they paid money. I don't know if it was a guarantee or whatever, but, you know, they asked, well, here's the money. And then I had to sign autographs. I didn't really know how it works, but what switched it for me was this kid in the wheelchair came up and they asked for autographs. And I guess they just did this guarantee, whatever, or pay or whatever it was. And this kid, and they kept the volunteer. So you want this sign? He's like, yeah. You want that sign? Yeah. You want that sign? It just builded this big thing. And it was just me sitting there like, that's 120 or whatever it is. And I was like, but you kind of asked them if you wanted it signed. You know what I mean? There's like structure, words.
Right.
And so I just hopped the thing. I said, dude, I'm signing for free. I can't handle the stress.
I still
my money from that guy. But I knock on the guy's door. I said, hey, you know, he's like, well, you're supposed to sign and do this. I don't know how it works. He just paid him money. I just signed for free. So he was really upset. I don't know what happened to that show, but I do remember that kid in the wheelchair. It's just, you can't ask someone to say, hey, do you want artwork? Yeah. And then you give them a bill.
And then give them a bill. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be a clear exchange. There needs to be a clear understanding. You know what I mean? At least something written on the table that has some kind of a price list or something. So people have an understanding. So they don't get hit all of a sudden with, oh, hey, by the way, you know.
Now they do. Comic-Cons are different now. Like everyone understands, like, you know, anime cons are different. You know, but Comic-Cons, that's kind of what it is. And I know sometimes people come up and say, hey, man, it's like, you know, we love the stories. We love people. And they have toys to sign. So it's a lot different now. I think people can expect this is their hobby. You know, some people do other stuff. You know, this is their hobby. I had wind tunnels. That was $800 an hour. That was my hobby. And it was just blowing wind. I mean, I love it. And I skydive. It costs a lot of money. So this is their outlet. You know what I mean? This is what they do.
Of course.
This is what they love. And we love it too.
Yeah. Well, and off that subject a little bit, but you brought it up when you talked about skydiving. You were the one that took me on the first skydiving, and we got the whole thing on your episode
of My More for Life. Yeah.
And that was great. We filmed that whole thing in Puerto Rico. We did this whole thing where we were doing the Puerto Rico Comic Con together, but we were like, let's hang out like outside of it, and I think we did some jujitsu. We went to a couple jujitsu schools and did some jujitsu there. Yep. And then this dude took me skydiving, and I was so freaked out. Like, it was because, you know, in the movie, guys, and like, spoiler alert, but we did not jump out of that plane in those movies. But now JDF is a season. What do you got? Something like 2,000 jumps, more than that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Close. Probably about 1,600, but base jumps. And
right.
And
that's jumps. Yeah. So this guy, I mean, he fell in love with it. So I went that one time, but I just remember because it was like a little rinkety dink little Cessna plane with like a welded like metal 2x4 that stuck off the side of the plane. Yeah. And it was like, this thing is circling up the sky above the drop zone. And it's like, we're getting to 10,000 feet. And I'm just like freaking out as each foot ascent, as we keep ascending. Right. And then next thing you know, this guy like straps himself to my back so that he's going to be, so I go tandem with him, and I just look out and I look down and all I can see is the earth, and I can see like a little bit of a curve of the earth, and I look down and I see this little metal 2x4, and he's like, go ahead and put your feet on there. I was like, what? I gotta put my feet on there. So I put my feet on there. I'm holding onto the plane. Like, you can see literally the whites of my knuckles like this, and this guy's strapped to my back, and all he did was just go, ooh, and just launched his chest across my back, and I just went barreling out, falling for my life. And the whole time he's got a GoPro on me, so I'm like, okay, I know this is gonna be in the My Morph and Life video. I need to try to look like I'm having fun, but I'm like this, like doing the thumbs up, but my face is like white, and you can watch the video and you can see me like I'm freaked out, like I'm freaking.
I gotta post that link up, man,
because I'm telling you, dude, that shit is very hilarious. But you see me like this, you see me like with my eyes are big as saucers, and I'm like doing the thumbs up, but it's not. It's like when you're nodding your head and you're saying yes, you know what I mean? Or like you're going like this and going no, like that's like the feeling, the conflict that I was going through. But I will say this, when he pulled that chute and we actually stopped, and then you're just descending and you can just see the whole entire planet, like from one side to the other, like, I mean, there's no other view that's like that. And it was incredible. Like, and it was the deadest calm, the quietest that I've ever heard. I mean, so peaceful, so serene, like there was nothing like it, man. I mean,
That's why I got hooked.
The free fall was a freak out for me. And I've got to say, it was something that I did not really enjoy that much. Yeah. But once we hit and I was floating above the world like a miracle, I'm telling you, man, there is nothing else like that. Yeah. And I get it. You know what I mean? I see when people land after they do it for the first time, and their just hands are up and they're cheering and they're hugging their friends and stuff, because it's such a great feeling. What's so exhilarating, like you get this rush and then you just get this serene. And there's nothing like it. So if you haven't gone, I recommend doing it once. I'm not saying you got to become an avid skydiver or anything like that. I know JDF would try to give me, hey, let's go again. I'm going, oh, hell no. I want bucket list, baby, bucket list. I mean, who knows? Yeah. I might go again. But, you know, I mean, it was not something that I was like ready to jump right back into. But it was awesome.
Well, at least you guys did it for fun.
You did that for me, huh?
Like I said, at least you guys did it for fun. I had to do it for training to jump out of a damn, you know, CH-130.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's what I was saying, Alex. I was just about to tell him that I'm sure you've experienced different stuff in the military. Well, we at Puerto Rico, we didn't have the Otters, the twin Otters, the Skyvan. Steve went from where I went. I start, you know, my first 20 jumps were Cessna. You know, they do weld stuff. I love hanging off the wing of it and jumping off. So I grew up in a little Cessna plane. So Steve did it the old-fashioned way of skydivers. Most skydivers that are listening, Steve, that probably have like 500 jumps are terrified to jump out of a Cessna. They're used to big airplanes, corporate, they jump out. So you had probably the most, you know, terrifying, great old school experience. It's like you taking me to an old school jiu-jitsu school, not a corporate, you know?
I mean, I knew this operation wasn't like, you know, like top of the line in the sense because, like, you know, we didn't have no jumpsuits. I was in my shorts and my sneakers and my t-shirt, and then they just strapped me in this parachute. I was like, where's my jumpsuit? Like, oh, we don't do that. I'm like, wow, okay. These guys are super gorilla, man. like
Puerto Rico, for sure.
Yeah, it was Puerto Rico, man. That was awesome, though, man. Like, that was one hell of an experience, man. I guess, I don't know, man. I'm going to have to go do it one more time with you, but I'm only going to go with you, man. Like, yeah, I won't go by myself, down, man. Yeah.
You'll get the nice airplanes that, you know, what did you jump? Alex, what did you
were jumping out of
C-130s? The C-130s. Yeah, that's what we jumped out of. So,
and you've had to.
Oh yeah, I mean we learned how to rappel onto buildings from helos and all that stuff, you know, and you learn to break your ankles once in a while, but other than that, yeah, I mean, well, CH-130.
But Alex, if you break an ankle, the thing to justify this that my mom told me, which makes sense. It's like, we're doing this for fun, and if we get hurt, we're paying to get hurt, and it's kind of like, you're dumb, but you have no choice, and if you get hurt, that's your job. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I kind of picked this dangerous sport where, you know, if a lot of friends, you know, not tandem, but a lot of stuff happens, you know, under parachute. I know Steve now, but a lot of stuff happens under the parachute, not necessarily free fall, but it's always funny. I'm thinking, I'm paying to put myself at risk where, Alex, you almost have to do it because you're in the military. So there's a different feeling to it. What did you experience when you did it?
Man, I was scared to shit. I was like, this is it. I called my parents the night before. I said, yeah, I'm doing a little bit of jump school stuff, and tomorrow we're all jumping in tandem, you know, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, it was what it was, and we were training for the worst. So, you know, if you have to go in something, I might as well just go out that way.
You know? I tell you what, you don't want to hear something funny? All my jumps, I've never done a tandem jump.
Wow.
Really? You've always
never done a tandem jump. It's mandatory now before you get your license. Two tandem jumps. I got my license in Sun Valley or Sun City, wherever it was in the desert out there. And Steve, this is a funny story that I don't talk about. So we don't do the skydiving in the movie. We didn't do it. But they hired a guy, Christian, who's a skydiver. And sky surfing, I can't sky surf right now. It's the hardest thing to do, like in skydiving, is sky surf. It's dinosaur sport. No one does it. Everyone that done it has died. It looks cool, but it's kind of like saying, Steve, master jiu-jitsu. It's at that level. Right. It's literally master jiu-jitsu level where you're like, oh, I can't wait. I want to try to roll. And you're like, cool. What belt do you? White. Good luck with the master guy. He'll be nice. But so the boards, you know, will get tangled and all this stuff. So I was intrigued by it. So I started skydiving in Sun Valley or Sun City or Cal City, somewhere. I don't remember. But I started and I heard this guy go, oh, the White Ranger's here. And so I was like, man, dang, word travels fast, you know, like everyone knows I'm here. But they were calling Christian. He was there.
Oh, right. The guy who, the actual stunt guy that was in the snowboard on the plane. He was in California at that time.
He still jumps, I think, in Lake Elsinore. He teaches. Oh, okay. He's called the White Ranger.
Wow.
So I saw him at the drop zone and he didn't know I was jumping. And I didn't know he was there. So someone's like, oh, you know, the White Ranger's jumping. And I was like, oh, me? No, him. And I was like, oh, so then I met him and then justified really well that sky surfing is not easy. Those, you know, the winds. I've had a lot of friends die from wingsuit jumps. I had a few other people die from dangerous stuff. So I'm paying for that. So I might tone back a little bit. I got things I got to do.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's crazy. So, you know,
really, really quickly, man. I know like time, you know, time flies when you're having fun. We got like a couple minutes left here.
We got like 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
We got like 10 minutes left.
We usually do an hour. Yeah. We do an hour show, but listen, I had a question, man. Talk to us about Legend of the White Dragon. It's taken all the cons before they went away. It was taking everything by storm. And I'm talking about not just now. I mean, this has been a long time in the making. And is it an original IP? Was it something that you created?
Yeah, this is the poster. And I'll explain it. So years ago, there's something. This is the costume now. Now, this is a Bat in the Sun design.
Right.
Years ago, I had a concept, something called Aftermath. And that was kind of like Old Man Logan, but with Tommy, you know,
right.
Like Aftermath. He, you know, I won't say he's Tommy, so I don't get sued, but it was, I had a different character set up. This one had a cape, but it kind of looked like Power Rangers, but it was a green character, worked on it for a long time. It was the blood of the DNA of the superhero, long story. It was kind of like Power Ranger-ish. So I could have been stopped probably. So I just stopped it. I said, I don't feel like getting a cease and desist. I don't feel like getting sued or anything like that. Right. So then I contacted Aaron and said, hey man, we should do like maybe a Green Ranger fan film. And he said, no, dude, I think we should do your story Aftermath and let me come up with the character. So he came up with this character.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, so Johnny Bosch and a few others were involved. So we just hit it. Like Johnny's story just hit it as like this Power Ranger world, man. Like we're bringing Rangers back. We're bringing this back. It literally was a Power Ranger world, almost similarity lawsuit clause. That's how close it was. In the script, I played Thomas. West. Johnny was, Adam. It really was really too similar. So we did that. We did a Kickstarter. It didn't go. I wasn't a fan of Kickstarter because I didn't understand what it was. It just sounds like, hey, donate. But I didn't know it's rewards. Like you actually buy a toy, like you donate and you get a poster. So I didn't know that. So we did the first one and it just in my heart, man, I just so glad it didn't sell because I just think Hasbro and Saban are on my butt all the time. So then we ended up talked to Johnny. Johnny, I see Johnny talk about it, and he says we're answering for him. So let Johnny answer for himself. I don't want to answer for anyone. But we ended up not going that route. We didn't go Yoshi, Christy. We didn't go that route. We kind of said, well, if we could just do it, you know, in Font Sierra, we want to introduce other characters. But most likely, if Steve came into it, he wouldn't be Rocky. So, you know, I play Eric Reed. And it's a completely different story. So Aaron just revamped the story. So it came from a concept, Aftermath, of me writing this movie. But it was kind of like Aftermath of Power Rangers without kind of getting sued. And that's kind of where we went. But then we scrapped the whole thing and said, let's build a whole new universe. We got villains. We got most people. This is like starting the American footage. It's not Japanese footage. We're doing like American footage and stuff. So most likely, like I said, if Steve came in, he wouldn't be Rocky. He would be a different character. I'm Eric Reed. So it's very and we have some toys that you'll see out there that got picked up on licensing because, me and Aaron run the IP and everyone that was in it, most everyone was offered to come back. And then I think an offer went out to Austin from Johnny and I said, don't ask him. I heard him on it last week. He's like, well, I got offered and the whole thing crumbled and fell apart. It didn't crumble. It's just the best. I'm glad that it didn't go that way. As egotistical as it sounds, I don't care. This is the Legend of the White Dragon. Alex, if you are the Legend of the White Dragon, we need to sell it off your name. Everything else is a plus. But, so that's what we did. And we got like 5 seasons of stuff. So, I'd love to get my friends in if they ever want to do it. You know, it's just right now we got 5 seasons of stuff. We got I'm putting on my red house.
Nice, dude. They did. Only thing that's missing on them is the little diamonds, on the front.
I know, but this says these are made in China, though. So. That's the Legend of the White Dragon. And it's funny because some toy companies picked up. And they're selling Hasbro stuff. So we'll see how this goes. But I'll make it clear to Hasbro and from day one that the first trailer is completely different. And, I know Johnny was going to do it. Johnny didn't want to do it, but let him answer for it because I feel bad. He says, we're answering for him. But that's a question maybe he can answer, which is no big deal. It's no one had no bad blood, bad animosity. I just felt I wanted to kickstart it again. And there's other people that didn't want to kickstart to fail. So the Kickstarter was planned in March 20th and Corona hit. So I said, I told Aaron, let's stop. Let's have courtesy. I don't want people think that I'm doing online training to get money or I'm kickstarting it. So then we decided just to let it go. And it was probably the best thing. That's probably how we funded it past our $100,000 goal. We got past 500, the comic book. I think people just wanted to be a part of something. Entertainment is selling. There's nothing else to do. Except watch your channel, watch stuff, watch movies, and read comic books, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, I for one backed it, so I sent my money. I believed in it, so I was just like, this is something that's new, and I think that I think Steve and I spoke about this before. Like, we need something fresh. You know, there things need to be refreshed, and some original IPs need to be out there.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I'm so tired. And I know Steve is like Power Rangers. He brings us back, and they spend all this money and bring us all back on Ninja Steel. And we got one or two lines. It's like, guys, like, you're just missing the point.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you're bringing.
Yeah. I mean, I still am baffled by that, Jay. Me I'm too. Still baffled by, like, how many times are they not going to listen to us? We have our finger on the pulse. We talk to the fans 40 times a year, all the time. Hundreds of fans every weekend, all the time. We know what they want, and we tell them what the fans want, and they won't listen. They won't listen. Do it. I don't
it's
get
corporate,
it.
It's corporate. It's corporate. So that's why this will be controlled by people that understand where the fan base is going. See, when you go out and you represent, you are still selling toys for the brand. Because they will come and get new toys. And we're like, cool. I just got this. Did you see the Green Ranger toy that has that toy, Alex? It has the car. And has the Nissan.
Yeah.
It's like so weird. They just released the Green Ranger now with the Nissan car.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
I just got five. I just ordered five to do a contest. And it's just funny how they're pumping out toys. And we are there. And we are signing them. But they never will listen. We are all promoting the brand, and Hasbro's never reached out to me. Saban.
They've never reached out to me ever, not once. Do you for anything? Not even for the likeness of my doll they made for me, the Blue Zio lightning thing, man. Exactly. That face doesn't even look like me. I get so mad about that.
How about an invitation to the movie premiere? You did the movie. That stuff got me mad, dude. And that's why I did get riled up. I'm thinking, no offense to the others, they never did. They never did a movie. We're talking a movie. We're not talking a series. Well, and that really kind of like, even though I'm not you guys, it did get under my skin.
But
like,
even still, for me, I could understand a little bit more because you're telling an origin story, and our movie was like a continuation, introduction into the new thing. I mean, we did the movie, so technically that's right. But you're telling an origin story and Rocky's not in it, there's no reason to bring Rocky to the premiere. But they should have brought all of us anyway, huh?
How about invite all the Rangers? You know what I mean? It'd be a great publicity thing. It's like, I get it, but they're trying to be too, we don't want to do it. And that's why it failed. Because they didn't even want me and Amy in the cameo. Our first cameo was on DVD. We did two. I grew up back to the ponytail. And my shot is sitting
in the coffee shop.
I stole a lot of footage. I mean, I still have it all. These cameras on me.
Yeah.
I do. Good for you, man. But then we did the other one, and I'm doing the little phone and stuff, and that's what I'm saying. I know it's like, you know, people making fun of me being in the movie doing a phone, only one person, but anyway, I'm doing the phone, and I'm actually recording the whole time on my phone.
So
I got all this behind the scene footage. So they said, okay, roll. I put my iPhone. I took the Samsung out, so it was a different phone and a different color. Until I got caught filming, the director said, wait. And I said, yeah. He goes, what camera is that? I said, that's the Apple. He's like, Samsung. We gave you a Samsung phone. I said, oh, yeah, no problem. This is your phone. I took it out of my pocket because I was filming on my phone.
Right.
And then I got kicked out of the movie premiere. And that went that went viral. And Saban called and said, please don't promote that. Please. You know, so it's like, they don't listen. But it's okay because – I know we're going to be blessed with something bigger and better, and we're already blessed with all you fans. We're blessed with all you guys.
Exactly. I mean, there's like so many good things that came out of it. So it far outweighs the negative things that we've endured as a result of it. But I just, for once, finally, you know, as part of our last slot here, I guess, in a sense, but just finally once would like to get some of that recognition from the big ups, you know, the people that own the series, that we did, you know what I mean? Like, you know, even when I petitioned to come back on the show, I'm like, you guys remember I did do 125 episodes. And he was like, you know what? You're right. I kind of forgot how much you did for the show. I'm like, well, thank you. We'll put me on the show then.
Let me tell you something. They're banking off all you guys, because if you notice, everything that's coming out now is all MMPR. You know, so they're really banking off you guys, you know, your backs that you guys created. But, were in those suits.
I'm going to tell you what's funny. All these toy companies, and if you notice, I'm not promoting all these toys, they're all coming going, hey, can you post this? Can you post this? Can you post that? And I go, no. And they're like, why not? I'm like, because I'm Legend of the White Dragon. And they're like,
nice.
Can you post this? No. And they're like, well, we can pick up your Legend of the White Dragon. I'm like, pick it up and I'll promote it. So I got this automatic note button where I'm like, oh, cool, we're going to give a giveaway. Legend of White Dragon. Yeah, I will use all my stuff back there because I'm proud of it.
Right.
But at the same time, Steve, when I went in the turbo and to get Haim to come to set, that took a curve. That, you know, that's when I decided to quit, when I realized that we're not getting pats on the back. That's when I left the office and said, I quit. I'm done, because it's not about money. It's about you need to go to set and visit people. And it never went that way. And I went in trying to help and I left out leaving the show. And I just don't think these people, unless they get pressured from Instagram and social media and they understand the power we have on this fan base, they won't get it because they're a corporation, because you are a number.
Yeah.
And you're a number. And it's like, Alex, oh, you want me to do your show? How many followers you have? It's like, shut up about that. Just do my show. Don't worry about how many followers I have.
Right.
So we become numbers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Until they start realizing numbers might have a voice.
Yes.
When you start voicing numbers, it's like, oh, maybe we should reach out for Steve. Maybe someone's watching right now, Hasbro, is thinking, oh, man, yeah, we should reach out to those guys.
Yeah.
Too late for me.
Well, I don't know, but you're right. So in one way or another, something's got to give, and eventually, you know, one way or another, that recognition will come, man. And dude, it just went by so fast.
I know.
I mean, dude, we could literally talk for like 3 hours, man. We've done it before, you know.
That's how we were on set. I mean, we're friends in real life, so
Well,
I could always come back anytime.
We would love that, man. We would love that if you could, man. And we would love to delve more into like your thoughts on all the Power Ranger universe, and not only that, but also and the White Dragon as well. We also have another podcast that we're starting that Alex is running. It's called Into the Morphin Grid, and him and Mike Rome will jump in from time to time and talk on this one. Because whenever I can't be on, Mike Rome fills in for me. So
he's I love Mike.
He's a great friend to our show. Yeah, you know him as well too. Anyways, it'd be cool if you came in and talked Power Rangers on that one as too. And we'd just love you to have you be part of everything. You know what I mean?
Like,
no problem. So that'd be great. Alex, is there anything else you want to say? I think we gotta wrap it up because we're only for an hour.
Sorry,
but
everybody out there.
Believe me, we didn't even get the fans. I'm sure the fans had like questions and stuff like that. But what we can do is next week we're going to announce our grand prize winner, because we do once a month we do a grand prize winner. Boom Studios, we've got these great big huge like books from Boom Studios that have all the comics in them for the whole entire year. Yeah, that's it right there.
I can add this if you guys want.
We would love that. That's what I was just about to say. Would you be willing to add something to that, like signing one of the Legend of the White Dragon things?
How about a signed Legend of the White Dragon poster? I got this one.
That would be incredible, man. Thanks. We'll make sure that we get you Alex's address. You can send that off to him.
Yeah.
He's put together a package. It's got a signed thing from Jason Font, a signed T-shirt from Jason Font. We've got the Time for Time Force shirt from Jason Font.
Perfect.
We've got now JDF's Legend of the White Dragon. We've got Boom Studios with their book. We've got Brad Hawkins with his signature on it. So basically, like everyone who's been on the show in the last like month or whatever, we'll put together a prize package for one fan that's one of our subscribers, and we send it out to them. We make the announcement.
Let's do this. I'll do this too.
Okay.
I got this last one. You reminded me of the shirt. I got a Legend of the White Dragon shirt.
Sick, so, dude. Sick.
I think it's like maybe a large extra. I can't be picky on the size. This is the last one I have.
Hey, so no, it's a great wall hangers, man.
I'll get it out to you, man.
Oh, dude, that'd be great, man. We'll get after we disconnect. We'll make sure we get all that information so that you can send it off. Thank you so much. And listen,
thank you. Yes,
we do have to wrap up. So, like, listen, on behalf of everyone that's watching in the Twitch universe, and everyone that's been so loyal to us all these last couple of months that we've been doing these shows, thank you guys so much. And of course, JDF, thank you again for coming on. I wish we could talk about. I know we had so much more things to unpack, and we're gonna have to do this again another time for sure.
Can people watch this link again, or is it just gone?
No, it's still running right now. But
no, you'll send me the link when we're done recording.
100%. Yeah, it's gonna go live up on. It'll go up on YouTube once we upload it on YouTube. It'll be you can be able to share the link and people can watch it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay,
so cool, we'll make that available for everybody. And again, thank you for your generosity with all the stuff you're gonna give out to the fans. Appreciate that. And I don't know, man. So once again, let's everybody stay safe out there. Follow Jason David Frank at JDFFFN, or it's 3F, sorry, not 4Fs.
JDFFFN.
And make sure that you follow him so he can keep finding out where he's got all of his PPP comic book store appearances. Follow me as well to find out where I'm going to be at, because we're going to be bouncing around, passing each other on planes all over the country here for the next few weeks. So definitely find out about all that. And once again, on behalf of myself and Alex, may the power protect you guys. Stay safe out there. Thanks a lot.